Hello, beautiful humans, and welcome back to the Society Says podcast, where we talk about pressure in society and what we can do to spread awareness and build each other up to live our own unique lives. If you want to be a part of this movement, then grab some snacks, maybe a drink, and keep listening, because on this podcast, we have some very real discussions.
Okay, obviously, Staria doesn't have an agenda here. She just starts off the show laughing.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Society Says podcast. I see that Angel wants to take over the introduction.
Always.
So go ahead. What are we talking about today?
So today we will be talking about a global destruction. What if the world comes to an end?
Oh man, we should record late at night all the time. But yeah, we're gonna talk about everything that's going on in the world because it's a time of uncertainty. Nobody knows what's happening or what's going to happen. Lots of people are freaking out. Some people are denying that anything is happening. So we're going to talk about that.
Perfect. So that's where I come in, as the brain of this operation. No, so literally I feel like a lot of people are just afraid. We've never had something like this happen in the world. I mean, there has been like big wars, you know, where you're afraid, but then again, that's controlled by humans, right?
So didn't like someone say that
the Spanish flu?
Yeah, but that was like way long ago. Nobody was alive during that. Well, I mean, nobody that's alive now.
Everyone was alive, and
it wasn't that very long.
It was 1918, wasn't it? 1918.
Yeah, nobody.
Oh, yeah, no one's alive from then.
They'd be like 102.
Oh, actually, there's a lady that's 105 years old.
Okay, so some people were alive during it, but there was a very small group.
They were like a little baby, the Spanish flu generation. But no, what I'm saying is, I've talked to people, and even the Spanish flu isn't this bad. Like, they were like, yeah, it was bad, but it wasn't to the point where the whole globe is about to shut down, you know, and that chaotic. And so, a lot of people are freaking out because they don't really know where this is going, what effect it will have afterwards. Not only are we getting hit by the flu, like the monster flu, coronavirus, but we're also getting hit by loss of jobs. People weren't prepared, you know, fighting for food and toilet paper. With toilet paper and hand sanitizers, you know, they're going on the black market for money.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow. I think it's weird to say this, but I think that it's a good thing that this is happening because I think...
I didn't say that. She did. She clearly...
Like, obviously, it's like a horrible thing, and it's really sad that we're losing lots of lives from this. And I mean, anytime something like that, you know, causes death, it's very unfortunate. But the reason I think it's good in a sense, if I'm going to pull some positivity out of this, is that I think all of us on the earth got a little bit too comfortable with things going well. Even like the trials we did hit in our lives, it was just kind of, I don't know, like just you could control them a little bit better. This is something that's kind of scary that, you know, like Angel said, it hasn't happened before, and it's just a trial that we all are being put through, and the whole world is going to have to come together to work through it. And I think that's actually kind of a cool thing that we all have the same problem in common, and we literally have to like help each other out to get through it.
Yeah. And I mean, taking all the bad things aside from it, like I believe that with, you know, with all this chaos, there will come beauty, kind of like what my wife was talking about. We have to go through hard times in order to become stronger people. And there was a huge complacency with the world and how we treated the world, with how we treated each other, with just in general, just complacency. And so this whole virus is actually bringing everyone together a little bit more. And when we make it through what we're going through now, it's going to be tough. But once we come back from it, it's going to make a stronger generation. And so there is a lot of bad that are happening with people dying and all this chaos, but there will be a lot of good as well that comes from it. And now we'll know that we should always stay prepared.
Yeah, I think that's one of the scariest things for people is that they're realizing that they were not prepared in any way for something like this to happen. And I think also people are realizing that, like with loved ones, you know, like family and friends, that maybe we don't like acknowledge them enough or like show love enough. So I think there's just a lot. I think it was just a huge smack in the face by reality, just that we aren't prepared, that maybe we're not working hard enough towards our goals in life. At least that's what happened to me. Like, I realized that I need to work so much harder towards my goals, and I also need to show, like, my family more love. Not that I don't love them. I'm just somebody that, like, forgets. I forget to, like, reach out to my family all the time. And, you know, this has made me realize that I need to, you know, get better about certain things. So it definitely has some silver linings to it. It's hard to notice those things with everything going on, and there's a lot of panic in the world. I actually feel like the panic has kind of died down a little bit. I think people are getting used to this whole quarantine thing. Slowly one city at a time is going into lockdown. Angel and I were just talking before we started this that it's funny that Arizona seems to be going into quarantine, even though, like, we aren't in quarantine, but everyone's, like, posting these challenges and tags about being in quarantine, even though, like, our city isn't in quarantine yet. So that's but it's actually a good thing that they're just taking it upon themselves to do that, to, you know, help not spread this thing. But yeah, I feel like we should do something, like, I don't know, never mind.
We should do something.
I was gonna, like, suggest, like, not like a game, but, like, if the world was ending, like, what's, like, the last couple things you would do, or I don't know. But I feel like maybe that's a little too morbid. I don't know.
No, I like the idea of thinking, what if the world is ending? I mean, worst case scenario, that's what happens. But let's just, I mean, we're not even close to that.
I don't think so either. I think it's just, like, it's been so long since this Earth has gone through, like, a really hard time. And everyone's been saying that a recession is supposed to hit us soon, so this is the beginning of it.
Yeah. I was talking to Staria today on our walks. We kind of do a little daily walk, kind of not. But it's funny because her and I did a lot of vacationing before this happened. And we were planning, like, our plans was to, you know, vacation and then work really, really hard until vacation time again. And so we just missed it by a little bit. So we went and we had fun in Hawaii and California and wherever else we went. Mm. And we come back and realize, oh, shoot, things are about to get really tough. My job got canceled because I couldn't, like, we were supposed to make this huge move, but it didn't happen anymore. And my work got cut back significantly. And, you know, we just weren't prepared for something like this. And so the amount of money we have in our savings is what we've been, you know, paying rent and paying everything off of and storing up on food. And so now the big thing is, what do we do now, the coming month? You know, and I think that's what a lot of families are thinking about now, especially the families that were hit with this by their jobs. There are some states that haven't lost jobs or haven't, you know, been cut back yet, but states like California, Arizona, just all these states that, you know, people are not able to go to work. And if you are able to go to work, you know, your work could be cut back. Less times, less hours. And so the next step is like, what happens when a majority of the population aren't able to pay off their rent or afford groceries or do whatever the usual things that we need to do? And so that's the situation that we're running into, where we have one more month of saving to pay off everything. And after that, you know, we have to figure out how to make things work. And if things gets worse, where we get completely locked down and I can't even do the little jobs that I can, or Staria isn't able to do the job that she has, then how do we make our rent work? How do we afford food? How do we move forward? And these are the kind of things that not only her and I are going through, but there's going to be a lot of families and individuals that are going to go through this. And it's going to be tough. It really will be.
I think that I think a lot of people are preparing for that, to be in a really huge financial bind and just really stressed about money for a while, for a long while. But the more I think about it, like us personally, I am just like ready to like face this challenge. I don't know. Angel and I are really into just like accomplishing challenges, I guess, where we just face them. And I encourage all of you guys to start getting into a mindset similar like that. Just know that, I mean, hard times with money is definitely going to hit us. I mean, it's already happening rapidly. And I think the only thing you can really do is just keep a good attitude and just work your hardest to just make it happen, whatever you can, to get food and water and to have a roof over your head. Angel and I were talking and we were like, well, like worst case scenario, we would just live in our car. And like, we're just mentally okay with that if it ever got to that point. Because I mean, being newlyweds, like, you know, a lot of money went towards the wedding, and we've done like some last minute vacations before hitting busy season, not knowing that this was going to happen. So we, you know, we didn't prepare for a virus to hit our world. So we're definitely stressed about money like we haven't been before. And, you know, the best thing you can do is just prepare for the worst, like the very worst case scenario, and just tell yourself, okay, it'll be fine. Like, just be content with it. So then if it actually does happen, I think it'll be easier to get through. I think the hardest thing is just like getting past that mental part of it. That's what really, I think, brings people down, is when they can't mentally accept what's happening, or they can't mentally just be okay with what's happening. And sometimes you just have to be, in my opinion.
There's two types of reaction that I feel is going to happen. And I think 90% of the people are going to do the second reaction. But the first reaction is, you know, you get tough and you grind it out, you push through, you fight, and you survive, you know, and you come out of this on top instead of behind. Second reaction is you can stress, you can worry, you can hide, and you can give up. But in the end, and that's what 90% of the population is going to end up doing. You know, they're going to freak out and rush to take out loans because they have to, worry about survival, worry about how to get everything paid and come out on top. But they're not going to push themselves above and beyond to make sure that stuff does get taken care of. And so Starry and I have been talking, and we just want to make sure that we are able to completely push yourself above and beyond so that when this whole thing happens, we are able to be good. And not only good enough for just us, but we want to be able to make sure others are good too. But if worst case scenario comes and we absolutely can't pull ourselves up on top of this, we're living in the car. The car it is.
We can sleep in the back. No problem. Timothy. you know, we were going to live in a van. My orange car is just a little bit smaller than that.
Exactly. The only problem we have is now that the gyms are closed, where do we shower?
That's true. Yeah, just hop into someone's backyard and steal their hose.
Exactly. If you have a backyard, watch out. We're coming for the hose. And not the hose at the strip club, but the
hose. Oh my gosh.
I am spraying herself down, and if you try to stop me, come chase me, because I've been doing 75 hard and I've been running every day, and you can't catch me.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy that we started 75 hard before all this happened, because I don't know.
Oh my gosh, did you hear how happy she was?
But really, both of us have felt so, so healthy, and just, it, I don't know, it makes us feel better that if we catch this virus, like, we'll be able to get past it pretty, you know, pretty quickly, just because our bodies feel really strong and good right now because of all the requirements with this challenge. It's also, I feel like, helping us with our mentality of what's happening too, because this challenge is very much like a discipline thing, and that's how your mentality is gonna have to be if everything really gets out of hand.
It's true. Yeah, we, man, 75 hard. You know, when the whole world's panicking, we're outside and we're working out and getting 2 exercise done in the day. It's not easy, but
it's nice though, because it kind of distracts us. If, I don't know, for me personally, if I am, like, having a day where I'm just, like, kind of feeling, like, this, like, darkness because of all the panic and stuff, if I've been on social media too much, like, seeing just the worry that's out in the world, it's really nice I have this challenge because it distracts me. I have to go work out. I have to get certain tasks done, and it helps to preoccupy my mind.
Don't preoccupy my mind. You know what's crazy? About 2 months ago, I was sitting on a bed in a hotel room, and I thought to myself, after the death of Kobe Bryant, I was thinking, and I was like, wow, everyone reacted in such a heartbroken way to the death of Kobe Bryant. And I thought to myself, I'm like, when I die, like, how will people react? You know, and that was the day when I was like, it doesn't matter what I have to do. I want to be remembered for who I was when I die, and I want everyone to remember the impact that I had. And so, I started this challenge, and I just asked Daria, and she was on board, and we started doing this challenge. And I've been pushing myself so hard. Crazy enough, this is how crazy this stupid challenge has gotten. My job was fine. I was making good money, and everything was fine, you know? I started reading this book called Relentless, and between that and doing the 75 hard, it made me push myself, and I felt like I, work-wise, I wasn't pushing myself to the best that I could. So, in the middle of this whole global pandemic craziness, I decide, I'm gonna get up and quit my job.
And me being the supportive wife that I am, I let him.
Yeah, I'm like, babe, I'm gonna quit my job. Now, given I wasn't making as much as my job because of this whole virus thing, but it was still an income. And I was like, I'm gonna leave this job and go take a job as 100% commission salesman. So there is no base pay. I just based on my sales. No one in the past, I've never been good at sales ever. And I just felt so motivated and pushed that I decided to quit my job and start this off. And so as of yesterday, 2 days, or is
two
it?
2 days ago.
2 days ago, I signed on as a door-to-door sales rep, and 100% commission. So I have to learn how to sell before I can even make a sale. So it's just the worst timing. But, you know, great things come from great timing. Look at the history of Coca-Cola.
I mean, sometimes, wait, what?
What?
Coca-Cola?
Yeah, so during the war, Coca-Cola was a drink. The CEO, like, created this drink, and it was kind of doing good, but it ran off sugar. But during the war, they were rationing off everything. So he couldn't have this large amount of sugar. So he wasn't able to get sugar for the drink. And it was dying off. But everyone else was panicking just over what's going on in the world with all the wars. And this man figured out a way to get... He got called up by, I think, some foreign president, or maybe it was our president, I don't remember, but he called them up and said, hey, we really like this pop, this drink, and we want to expand the making of this all throughout the world. And so Coca-Cola was rised up at a time of like complete destruction. Dang. And it's crazy.
Well, sometimes you just have to take a risk, you know, like you don't know if it's gonna work out, but if it does work out, it's gonna be something good, you know. And I think that's what your situation is. I think you're gonna be a great salesperson. You have that like friendly like countenance about you. Is that the right word?
Countenance.
I don't know. Okay. It's been a minute since I've been in school and paying attention.
She's lying. She used to be a straight A student. This girl gets every assignment down on time. Like, she's so indoctrinated. I don't even know how I got to marry her.
I was not a straight A student. I went to Newport. I was like a straight
B student.
Fine,
she got one B.
I would get like 2 to 3 B's.
Oh my gosh, and everything else A's.
Oh, man.
Well, me over here was just sleeping in class, wasn't able to pass anything. I was in 12th grade and taking Algebra 2 with all the freshmen.
Algebra 2? I think I took that in middle school.
Exactly. See what I'm talking about? Algebra 2, guys. Algebra 2.
My school district was crazy, though. They made us, like, all the math, actually every subject, like, whatever grade you were in, you were actually taking like the subject level of like 2 grades ahead. Damn. That was just like the school district, how they did things.
My school district, you're lucky if, you know, they don't really care. They just move you along. Except if you're really bad at something, they don't move you along. That's why I was still in Algebra 2 in 12th grade. But you know what? It's all right. After I graduated, I realized I don't even need math except to count my money.
Actually, you're better at math than me.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, anyway, I feel like we should bring some humor into this a little bit with the whole world ending thing. You look like you were going to say something.
She just paused. She's like, I think we should bring some humor into this, and then realize that none of us are comedians.
So. Let's do the whole thing. Like, what are some things that you would do if the world was ending in like the end of the month? What are some things that you would do?
If the world was ending, what does that mean? Like,
destruction everywhere. Just
really. that's her destruction.
So. Just a little puff of air.
If the world was ending, this is what I would do. You guys ready for this? I would go to Home Depot.
I was so tempted to be like, y'all ready for this?
So because I'm black, she thinks every time I'm about to speak, I'm about to drop some hot tracks. Just kidding. But no, seriously though, if the world was ending and I had a month to live or less, a week, 2 days,
let's
one
say
day,
a month
to live. I definitely would spend some time with my wife. And keep in mind, I have to say this because, you know, if I don't say this, then I'll be in trouble later. As she's glaring at me. So first thing on that list, you know, spend some time with my wife.
Only like a day or two.
A day or two reserved, you know. Maybe the last days. But, you know, I've thought about this a few different times, and I really don't think there's much that I would rather do than really just talk to my family, go see them, spend time with the wife, and, you know, just do little things together, because those will be the last time we'll see. I really don't care about, like, driving the fast cars or, you know, going to eat delicious food or things like that. Really, I could just have a cup of noodles. I might just do that, actually. Eat cup of noodles every day because I'm gonna die anyways, and spend some time with the family and really just relax. I do not care to die.
Well, I feel like I'd probably do something that involves traveling. Like, I'd either get in my car and just not stop. I'd bring you with, obviously.
I wouldn't go because traveling when the world's ending, that's very,
Or we can get in a boat and just start
a paddling. Boat when the world is ending? Oh, man. I'm okay. Completely tearing her
fine.
Stuff
apart. I'll just sit in a room with Angel and just chill, relax.
No, babe, you could tell him what you were going to do. You're going to get in a boat.
Yeah, I just think I'd want to keep moving. I think I would struggle to just, like, sit still while, like, everything is just, like, going south all around me. I think I'd want to just keep moving, you know? But maybe not, you know? Maybe this time will come and I'll just be like, you know what? Chilling and relaxing really sounds nice right now.
That never sounds nice to her.
She's
like, babe, we gotta do something. Babe.
I really struggle to, like, have lazy days, which is really unfortunate because sometimes I want a lazy day and, like, I'll be halfway through the day and I just start getting a headache and I start feeling irritable. I'm like, I have to do something. I feel like I did pretty good today, though.
Oh, she did great today.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess I'm undecided, apparently, on what I would do, even though I suggested this. Okay, now it's your turn to come up with something.
I just told you what I would do. I'd sit.
No. I mean, like, I suggested.
Oh, the world's ending. Okay. This is a crazy case scenario. This is a crazy scenario. All right. The virus... it's spreading, right? If you catch it, you turn into a zombie.
I'm low-key hoping that happens. I'm not gonna lie.
If this virus turned people into zombies, imagine that was the case, right? The virus, you know, you get it. Phase two of the virus.
Wait. I have to pause you for a second. Uh-huh. So there's a lot of people that think that this whole thing, this virus, was set out by the government to kill off people, especially in China, because they are so, like, overpopulated. I don't know how I feel about that, but what if they did do that and, like, they are trying to turn everybody into zombies? Anyway, continue.
So everyone's turning to zombies around you. You get to choose one of your favorite food to carry with you as you travel. To carry with you when you travel. The next thing is...
Wait, I'm sorry. I missed that. What did you say?
Oh, then you would die by a zombie. So there's three things, right? Mm-hmm. One is your favorite food to take with you as a zombie. I mean, not as a zombie. Because that would be humans, I think. As you. Second thing is a weapon of your choice. Could be any weapon. Just know that if you have a gun, if it is a gun, the ammo doesn't... I mean, you're limited to ammo, so that's about it. And, what's the other thing? Oh, there's three things. And your favorite movie to watch. Or book to read. Movie or book.
Well, I mean, movie. How often are you going to find a TV? We got to think of The Walking Dead here, okay?
Yeah, okay.
But I actually have been wanting to rewatch that because of everything that's going on. I'm, like, ready to get my, like, Daryl side out and, like, I'm going to get my crossbow and start shooting people up when they start turning into zombies.
This girl would kill me in a heartbeat if I was a zombie.
Okay, I feel like I should say no, babe. I wouldn't.
There we go.
Okay. Favorite food. I'm someone that doesn't really have favorites with anything, so let me think about this. Honestly, the first thing that enters my mind is ice cream, but I don't know if that's just because I haven't had ice cream in 35 days.
Ice cream would melt.
I know, seriously. And I hate cold environments. Oh, shoot. Let's go with...
I also said food.
Food? Ice cream is food. Mm-hmm. Oh man, this is hard. Because it has to be something that can travel with you. Or is it just something that appears all over the place? It's face.
Where do you live that food is just appearing all over the place?
In a land where there's zombies and they're real. Okay, let's see here. I would probably honestly have bars, granola bars.
Perfect. She's the happy bar. That's her. That would be her quarantine name.
Oh man, guys. The reason I'm laughing so hard is because I always have bars everywhere, in my bags, in my kitchen, in my car.
And I drop bars.
I have them everywhere because for like the past year, actually, my sister also agrees with me. I don't know if it's because I feel like I'm talking all over the place right now. Okay, my last name is Grubb. Well, my maiden name. And my whole family, we grew up like big eaters. And so when we miss a meal, we get super hungry and that hunger turns into like a sick feeling. And so, you know, with us traveling a lot, I need food. So bars to the rescue because they like never go bad. And even when they do expire, you can still eat them. Okay, so bars. My weapon of choice, I can't decide between a crossbow or a machete. Because crossbows, like, you can hit them from far away. But machete, if you get swarmed by a crowd, you can just start swinging that thing.
And crossbows, you're going to run out of bows.
Well, you can either go get them or you can get wood and
make
your own.
Do you know how to make a bow?
You just got to make a stick that's sharp.
How do you connect it to the crossbow?
Look, Daryl in The Walking Dead does this. If you guys haven't noticed, I used to watch The Walking Dead, and Daryl is my favorite.
Her survival tactics comes from a TV show. So
Daryl is awesome. I'm going to start studying up. I'm going to rewatch that show.
Okay, so what? What's the next option?
The book?
The book.
The book, okay. I just am not much of like a book reader.
She reads all romantic books.
No, I don't. I actually read history books. Ugh, shoot, I don't know. Why did you say favorite book? I wouldn't have time to read during this time.
I'm pretty sure you have lots of time to read if you're hiding from people.
I don't know. It'd probably just be some, like, real story of, like, history. I don't know, because for some reason I find those books really interesting. Like right now I'm reading the book Just Mercy, and it's a true story of someone that was like wrongfully accused of murder, and he's on death row and he gets out of it because he is proved not guilty, and I like it.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna skip over to me now because okay, first things first. Food. The food of my choice that I would take on this journey with me. You know, I'm going to copy my wife and say not just any bars, but I would take RX bars.
Ooh. See, my bars, I just said bars in general because I'm taking all the good bars.
Really, I'm just going to take protein powder. And I got to get that protein in. I really don't know.
And but get chunky.
One of those. Yeah, I got to get chunky. Then, what was the second thing? Weapon of choice. See, now this is a tough one.
Pocket knife.
A pocket knife? What the heck am I going to do? Who am I going to kill with a pocket knife? let's see. Weapon of choice. I'm looking through. My mind's going through all the movies that I've seen. Then. Oh, yeah. I'm taking a samurai sword. For sure, I'm taking a samurai sword.
Dang.
And my final option would be the book that I'll take. Oh, easily, How to Kill Zombie 101.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. I should have seen that coming.
Okay. What else book would you need? Either that or a survival book, like food to find in the wild or like things like that, you know. Yeah. Poisonous steaks to look out for.
I just already know those things.
Mrs. She's going to take a romantic book while the world's falling apart.
Babe, I just said...
Or a history book.
Yeah.
History. We don't need a history book.
Here's the thing. I'd bring it with me, but I probably wouldn't even use it. Like, who's going to be... who's going to be reading when they need to go out and
kick
some butt?
I will be reading on how to kill zombies and the effect of how not to turn into a zombie.
Okay. Well, that was fun.
She wants to fight me right now.
with my machete.
And her machete.
Oh, man. Okay, well, anything else that we need to... I feel like we should probably not end on that.
That is a great spot to end. Killing zombies. Where would you like to end on, Ben?
I don't know. Oh, actually, there is one last thing that I want to talk about. I feel like right now, with everything going on, I've been very frustrated. And it's kind of the frustration that Angel was talking about when he was reading that book and how he just needed to do something, like live up to his potential a little bit more. I'm kind of feeling the same thing. And it's because with this brand, you know, it's talking about society. And everyone is just sitting at home on their phones right now on social media. And I really want to be able to use this opportunity to, like, help people who are stressed, people who don't know what to do, or people that have the mentality of just everything is going downhill and there's nothing that you can do about it. So I started with doing this whole virus help thing. It's a new highlight on Society Says, but I just feel like I could do more, but I have no idea how to. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because I think that this is a great time to use social media. And it can be used for a lot of good right now. I think all the challenges and tags going around are actually kind of cool because everybody is, like, interacting with one another and having a good time and keeping the positivity up. And so I think we should keep doing that. And maybe whoever's listening, you can think of ways that you individually, like, what you can do on your social media to, you know, spread some goodness, if that makes sense. That's my little 2 cents, I guess.
Perfect. Word. I like it.
But yeah, I guess that's it. Anything you want to say?
I just want to say, listen, all you guys out there that are freaking out that the world's coming to an end, that you might catch the virus, that you might not be able to pay your rent and all this, I just want to say worrying won't get you anywhere.
It'll actually make it worse, a lot worse.
So focus on the things that you can control and the things that you cannot control. Don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. You know, just focus on what you can control, like the ability to, you know, research on how to make money at home. Like, that's something you can control. Research on things that you can do to prevent catching the virus. That's something you can control. Do what you can control and don't worry about the rest. You guys will be good. I got you.
Yep. Well said, babe.
I'm getting the last word, just so you know. Word. And the last laugh.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Babe.
I'm wrapping this up. Bye, guys.
Have a good night. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in.
You guys are awesome. You guys are rock stars. I hope you come again. Listen to our stuff. We got some very good stuff here. That's it for the day. Have a good one.
Bye.